Welcome to the Classic City Church podcast. For up-to-date information and ways to get involved, please visit us at classiccity.org.
As people are coming back, we want to begin a series in the month of August. It's going to be 4 weeks long. And we're going to call it Winning Spiritual Battles. And what we're going to look at are particularly four areas in our lives where when we're in a spiritual conflict, where we really can get manipulated. There's four areas, four places you've really got to win to be victorious spiritually. There's at least four places. And the way that I would describe these four areas is that if they aren't really settled, you can really get manipulated. When a policeman's trying to restrain somebody, they will do a hold called an arm bar. You ever seen an arm bar? You ever been put in an arm bar where somebody takes your arm and holds it behind you like that? Anybody ever had that experience? If somebody can get your arm like this in behind you, they literally can control you. They can move you this way, they can move you that way, and this is what a lot of what spiritual battles are about. It's about where are these areas, when is my arm behind my back? When is something pushing me and pulling me in a direction that's contrary to God's will and contrary to what He wants for my life? And so we want to look at these four places and these four areas, and we want to get a deeper understanding of who God is. One of the words for God that is used, titles for God that's used throughout the Old Testament, is the title Savior. God is our Savior. And the Hebrew word is Mashiach. God is our Mashiach. He is our Savior. And what that meant in that age is God is the one who comes and whose presence is there to win battles. He wins the battles. He wins the fights. He puts the battle on His shoulders, and because He is so competent and so capable, you have victory. You know, I would never say this is one of my favorite movies, but maybe one of my most enjoyable movies was a movie that starred Denzel Washington, and it was called The Equalizer. Anybody ever see The Equalizer? The Equalizer had a great commercial, and I thought, we got to go see it. And actually, I went with my wife. I took my son. I think I went three times. I just love this movie. And in this movie, Denzel Washington is this kind of retired, special ops wrecking machine. They used to do all kind of awful things for the United States military. He was just great. He was a lethal guy, and he was smart, and he was this precise dude. And he is sort of retired, and he's incognito, and he's working at basically a Home Depot or a Lowe's, just, you know, doing the hardware store, just doing very simple stuff with simple people. And he gets pulled into this situation. There's a girl that's being sex trafficked, and he doesn't like it, and he sees the abuse of it. So he ends up going, and he meets with these guys, and he tries to negotiate her freedom. They're terrible to him. So he just locks the door and, like in 11 seconds, kills them all. And that kind of killing's not a sin, by the way. Anyway. That's a joke, but anyway. But he does. He just wipes out these sex traffickers and he comes to find out they're with the Russian mob. So he ends up getting in this big conflict with the Russian mafia. He is one guy against the Russian mafia. And he destroys them. And then he goes to Moscow. In the end of the movie, he kills the leader. And the world's a better place. That's it. But that is what, if you've ever seen the movie, it's what God is, that's what they understood God to be, is this sort of powerful, invincible presence that when you get in a conflict with Him, you're in battles in life, He is there in a powerful, resounding way. And so I want to talk about one place in our life where we need to know that God is there in a powerful and an awesome way. And if we don't, you and I are going to be manipulated away from God's best for our life. And that place is fear. Fear. If you're conflicted now because of fear, if you are in an arm bar and there are things God wants you to do, things you want to go after, things that are on your heart, and you're not doing it because of fear, I want to read you a story that I think will help encourage you and help you to take steps to overcome that. Look at Luke chapter 8. This is a story that's fairly familiar to a lot of people from the life of Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 8. All the Gospels have this story in them, except for John, but Mark chapter 4. It's also in Matthew chapter 8. But it's a story of Jesus and his disciples. They're in Galilee, which is his hometown. And he tells them, hey, let's all get in a boat. Take a boat ride to a place across the lake, fairly large lake, to a place called the Decapolis. And so let's look at this story and see what happens. Luke 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. So what did Jesus say they're going to go do? They're going to go to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him and said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. But he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Now look at this question. Jesus asked this question to them. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. And then their response, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So we have this story. It's fairly well known in circles about Jesus. He's with his disciples. They get in a boat. They're going from Galilee to a place called Decapolis. If you were back in those days, if you look at a map of the first century, Israel was basically had three regions to it. It had Galilee, which is where Jesus was from, that was north. That region had Gentiles and Jews living together. They were very mixed. The next part was the Samaritans. Those were people that were half Jews, half Gentiles, and they had their own community there. And then the base was a place called Judea, which is where Jerusalem was. That's where the Jews lived. It was more of the pure Jews with no mixture of anything. Over beside this, on the very far thing, was a place called Caesarea, which was a very pagan area. Then there was a place where they're going to called the Decapolis. And again, it has a Greek foundation to it. They call it Decapolis, Deca, because it's called the place of 10 cities. It was very influenced by Greek paganism. It was very Gentile. It was very dark. There in the Decapolis, they were known and they were famous for worshiping the Greek god Zeus, because he was the great god, the head of the pantheon of the Greek religion. And so they worshiped that. The way they'd worship him is really interesting. They would take what they call black pigs and they would sacrifice them to Zeus. That was the way they made Zeus happy, and they pleased Zeus and they appeased him. So Jesus is in a boat and they're going to this place, the Decapolis. Very evil, very dark. The great god of the Greek pantheon, Zeus, is worshipped there in pretty intense ways. And so as they're going, Jesus falls asleep. They're sailing on this big, huge lake. Can't see the shore from either end. They get out in the middle, and right when they're in the middle, the Bible teaches us, and every version has this, a squall, a storm suddenly erupted. Just bam. Real quick, real fierce, came out of nowhere. Matthew makes a point that it was sudden. Suddenly. And all of a sudden they realize they are in the fight of their life. They really believe they're going to die. You ever been in a situation where you thought you might die? This is what they're feeling. They're in this situation. And while they're going through this, Jesus is sleeping. So they wake him up. They're terrified. And Jesus stands up and he just gets on the boat and he basically tells the wind and the waves, he just says, stop. And it stopped instantly. Could you imagine what that would be like to be on that ship and have that happen? They ask themselves a question. They go, who is this? What kind of human being can rebuke, can with his words stop a storm? Who can make winds die down and who can make the ocean stop, the seas, the winds obey him? Who is this? Well, here's the thing that would be very interesting. In their Bible, particularly in the poetry of the Hebrew Bible, let's read who they say they are. There's a couple passages I want you to just kind of look through here. They'll be on the screen here. That are from the Psalms. Psalm 107, verse 28 through 30, it says this. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. He guided them to the desired haven. Look at the next one here. It's in Psalm 65. Verse 5 says, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas. Verse 6 says, you formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength. And then verse 7, he says this, you still the roaring seas, the roaring of their ways, and the turmoil of the nations. Look at the next verse here. It's in Psalm 89, who is like you, God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the surging seas. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crush Rahab like one of the slain. Your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. And there's the passage from Job, Job 26. By his power, he churned up the sea. By his wisdom, he cut Rahab to pieces. Rahab was the name in Jewish folklore, of a sort of mythical sea monster. They believed that when Rahab erupted, he would just suddenly cause these storms to come up. And so they're sitting there and they're going, wait, who is this? Jesus Christ is doing stuff only God can do. He's doing stuff only God can do. He's stopping storms. He's hushing the waves to a whisper. Who on earth, who is he really? And so we have that question. Who is this man? Then we have another question that Jesus asked them. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? So this is what we want to look at. Who is this guy? And we want to ask ourselves a question Jesus was asking his disciples. Where is your faith? What's your faith in? Now, what goes on after this story? And it's in all three accounts of the Gospels. After this, they go and they actually cross the Sea of Galilee. And they come to the area called the Decapolis. And they land in a place called Gerasenes. And when they get off the boat, right when they get off the boat, Jesus gets off, the disciples get off, and there is this crazy man that comes running at him. And he is crazy, and he's out of his mind, and he is supernaturally just powerful with this sort of this evil energy. And he comes, and he comes to Jesus, and he says, "Oh gosh, what are you doing here? What are you? I can't believe you're here. Don't throw me into the abyss. You know, I just beg you." And Jesus tells this spirit that's speaking through this man, he says, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name is Legion, because we're many." And the idea was this man was infested with evil and with demonic power and presence. And Jesus then commands those demons, and he tells them to go into this herd of pigs. And when he does that, the herd of pigs goes and they run off and they fall off this cliff and they fall into the sea. And then the town comes out and they go, hey man, you got to get out of here. This guy wants to go with Jesus. He wants to follow him. Jesus says, no, you stay here and you tell this community what's happened to you. What's really interesting is in church history, we find out that when Matthew finished writing his gospel in the mid-40s and he wrote it to the Jewish people, when he started to go out on his mission trip, he went this way. And when he got to this area, he found out there was a church already thriving there that had come from this guy, which is really kind of a cool story on the side of it. But think about what is happening here. You're a disciple of Jesus. What a day you've had. You get in a boat with him. You take a boat ride to this kind of dark, evil area. In the middle of it, for some reason, there's this awful, evil storm that comes up out of nowhere. It threatens you. You really think you're going to die in this storm. Jesus literally gets up and says, stop, and instantly everything stops. All the wind, all the waves. And you're pondering that, and then you cross, and you come to the shore, and right when you come to the shore, there's this crazy guy full of demonic evil, full of it. And he knows Jesus' name, and he's telling him, what are you doing? And he does, and then Jesus, you know, tells him to be quiet, and he hurls him, these demons, all into pigs, and they go down. That would have been a very powerful message to that place, because pigs were used to worship their god Zeus. And this is Israel's God coming in there and saying, no, I'm taking over. You're not worshiping this. I am taking this evil and I'm casting it. And all this worship, all this, it's just going off into the sea. And you see this incredible scene of your God crossing the water. Your God stopping a storm. Your God then going over to this foreign place, this pagan place, and speaking to these evil spirits and hurling them into the pigs used to worship their god Zeus, and they just go over, and you see this sort of incredibly powerful moment that is incredible and awesome. So you're asking yourself the question, who is this? And what you're left with is an amazing picture of who Jesus is. He is Almighty God, and he has come to earth to deal with evil. He has come to earth to conquer evil. He has come to earth to go to the places where a god named Zeus is being worshipped, and he is going to turn that place upside down. That's who he is. And it is awesome. That's who Jesus is. But here's the second question he asked. Where is your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? It's a question probably needs to be asked to you and I. Where is your faith? What is your faith really in? But you see, when these disciples, when Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the boat, they said, hey, Jesus said we're going to go to the other side. Let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side. That was his word. But when that word and that will met a ferocious storm, it met opposition, it met evil, what took over? Fear. Fear took over. Fear got in the way. Fear became an encumbrance. And then as they kept going, Jesus came through. And here's the thing that I think is so important in our lives. Obviously, you're in the middle of a hurricane in a small boat. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be fearful. That's going to happen. But here's what Jesus is saying. There is the presence of another with you. There is somebody else with you. And he has said, you're going to the other side. He has said you're going to make this journey. He said you're going to cross over to the other side. Don't fear. Don't fear. And what is, I think, a powerful challenge in all our lives is to maintain faith in Jesus when we're in that storm. To not let fear dominate us. To not let the armbar of fear take us off course to what God wants for our life and go in a different direction. To not be afraid. To put your faith in Him, not in the circumstances. To put your faith in Him, not in the chaos going around you. To put your faith in Him, regardless of all the other circumstances and all the other possibilities, to keep your faith in Him. Jesus says, where is your faith? Where is it? What's it in? What's it in? You know, I know in my own life I've had to live this out a lot. I know when we started a church, I know when I first went into ministry, like these guys are doing, I'm so excited for you guys, I didn't have enough. I was going to a struggling ministry to try to put it together. You know what? And it was very terrifying. It was very scary. But God came through. God came through, and we succeeded, and things went well there. You know, my whole life, I know what it's like to do. God tell you to go do something. You go do it. It's terrifying. Things get worse. But in the end, He comes through. Over and over again. And I want to encourage you, man, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, if you're walking with Jesus, He's Lord of your life, Almighty God is in that boat with you. This is not just a guy with some good ideas who said some nice, wonderful things 2,000 years ago. This is the God who literally still sees. This is the God who stops waves. This is a God who silences the wind. And He is in that boat with you. And you can be strong. And you can put your faith in Him. And you cannot melt when things get tough. You cannot melt when it is difficult to move forward. You cannot melt because He is there with you. That's who He is. And that's what He does. I want to encourage you, man. God, I believe, is going to in these next few, this next year, is just going to speak to all of you to do, like, you know, Josh and Katie are doing, man. They're going to go overseas, take a risk. There may be things God speaks to you, maybe not quite that extravagant, but there's just maybe challenges in your own life. Maybe you're here and you've never shared your faith with somebody. You've never shared your faith with somebody. It just terrifies you. I mean, this may be a time when God is going to lead you in that direction. Maybe when it gets to your money and your finances, you're just worried constantly, and it affects the way you're able to be involved in your giving. And man, maybe this is the time when God's going to say, look, stop letting your life be dictated by fear. There's so much you can do. There's so much you can be involved with. Stop letting fear move you around. Stop letting fear maneuver you away from what God wants to do in your life. I want to just keep those two things fresh in your mind. Who is this? Who is Jesus? And where's your faith? Is your faith really in Him? Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this powerful portrait of You that comes from 2,000 years ago. Of the God who tells His people, hey, we're going to the other side. And regardless of opposition, regardless of conflict, regardless of what comes up, You're there. You ensure the journey. You do something great and powerful, and then You really challenge us. Where is your faith? Father, help us to have our faith in You. Help us to trust You in this journey. Help us to not doubt and to not quiver and not fail when things get challenging and things get tough. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence with us. We pray that you would make this passage and this moment that the disciples had with you, make it real in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.